podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We are halfway home on a Thursday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Thanks so much for being here. We've got the roundtable coming up right after the show. The roundtable brought to you by Roundtable. Go figure. Excited to talk about that. Ben lays out the topics on the table. We get after it for an hour, commercial free, every Thursday. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindl's the executive producer. On his way to the Rady Shell tonight for the first time ever. I'm jealous. I've never been to the Rady Shell. Paulie's going to go see Ludacris tonight at the Rady Shell on a Thursday. Crazy.
Can't wait.
Ballsy. Ballsy move, by the way.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit.
Going to get that that morning show panic at about 9:45 when you're like...
Yeah, if there was a weeknight to do it, Thursday's a good one. I mean, Friday shows are pretty dialed in.
Padres games much earlier in the day.
Yep.
Yeah, you get all that work done. Handle all your business. Yeah. You're not missing anything.
Got nothing else to do tonight.
But you get that panic when you're down there and it's 9:45 and you're like, I got to get in my car. I got to go home. I had it when I went to the Pods game last week. Stayed till the eighth inning and was just panicked the whole time. Just sitting there for about the last four innings going, Oh, God. And I suffered for it the next day. Now, mine was on a Tuesday. It's way different than a Thursday. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins as well. You're not going to see Ludacris at the Shell.
I am not going to see Ludacris at the Shell. I would, though.
Have you been to the Shell yet?
I have been. I actually have not been since they put the Shell up. I've been to that venue before it was the Shell in the same location, but I have not been since they upgraded it to the official Shell.
Yeah, I haven't. I saw one show that I wanted to go to, but it was like $300. I'm like, no, I don't want to go that bad. It was also during the week.
I've been looking for like over a year, all last summer and all this year. I'm keep checking the calendar, waiting for somebody I was at least remotely interested. I mean, I would go just because of the venue, but you got to be a little bit interested in the artist.
Yeah, I can't do that. Not on a Thursday night. If you get me out to a show on a weeknight, I have to love it. I mean, I have to love it. It's worth the struggle and frankly, worth me having a pretty bad show the next day.
Put it this
way.
If Ludacris was playing tonight at like the San Diego County Fair, probably not going.
Yeah.
But because he's playing at the Shell, which I wanted to see, and like his music, I'm like, let's do it. Thursday night, no problem.
I like it. Yeah, no plans for us tonight, I don't believe, other than just getting ready for the tsunami that is summer coming in our home. I looked at the calendar and I went, camps for days for my oldest son. My youngest son was really not going to miss a beat. No, summer session is just much easier. Yeah, that's me.
Summer.
Looking at the calendar because it's just camp after camp. You gotta keep these dudes engaged. And it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, when you work and I realize too, if he's not in camp, then I get off work and there's no gym. There's no me time. It's home. And it's dadding. It's dadding from 10:30 in the morning until, 8 o'clock at night.
Are you putting them in camps for them or for you?
Both. Because we learned our lesson. Last year we had a few. He's doing Padres baseball camp. He's doing a couple of his REITs camps, which are really good camps, baseball. He's doing a cooking camp, by the way. He's doing a farm camp. He's doing all kinds of different camps. It's mostly for us. I'm not going to lie to you. But you also want to keep him busy and engaged because idle hands, they say, Ben, are the devil's plaything. And I was racking my brain. I think we talk about this usually every year when we do our Ben and Woods summer break. But I'm trying my hardest to remember what I did in summer vacation when I was a kid. Both my parents worked full time. They always did. Never had the stay-at-home mom, never. And so what did I do when I was 10 or 9 or 8? I tell you what I didn't do. I wasn't off at camp every week. I've been to like two or three camps my entire life. And I don't remember what I did.
All summer.
Whole summer.
You had summers off, but your parents were at work.
They both
you
worked.
You were not quite old enough to really be totally responsible on your own. But you were on your own or did you
no,
have
I was not. I was on my own. I was on my own till I was about... I was on my own when I turned about 12.
Okay.
Because I had my brother who was 7.
And he was like 11, 12.
And I feel like once that happened, well, you had your group of friends, you rode your bikes, you played all day, your parents got home at 5:36, and you had dinner, and you woke up and you did it all again. I feel like I laid around on my ass a lot, watching a lot of TV, you know, watching movies and you know, relaxing a lot. Although I spent a lot of time alone.
At least the 15-year age difference is significant for us during that time, because I had computers and video games a lot, in the internet.
I had nothing. Well, I had Nintendo. I probably played a lot of Nintendo. But I had a good group of friends that lived in my neighborhood, so we played home run derby, we played football, we played basketball, we swam. You know, there was a really cool area with a golf course and a pool. You could go play golf, you could swim, things like that for relatively inexpensive. But
is it funny how, like, kids, you never had, like, organized conversations like, hey, today's hockey day or today's basketball day,
what are we
or today's
doing?
The pool day. It just kind of happened that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to think for the life of me. What I know for a fact is my parents did not send me to I think he has a camp every week. Like, almost every week of summer, he's going to be in that. What did you guys do with your kids?
So They had various, some camps, but Shelly was a stay-at-home mom back then, yeah. So she would provide entertainment and enrichment during the summer.
Entertainment and enrichment.
Yeah.
Acts of, like, Shakespeare, art. Thing, you know. Kids like art, too. My kids really like art. I think there's an art camp involved. I think there's so many. I didn't have a lot to do with it. But
it's a lot, and it's expensive, but that's like the
place of childcare, I'd take some time off, some road trips, and see the country. And
yeah. Well, I mean,
parks.
You don't have to pay for school, so it's great when they're in school, but I don't know. It's just it's a lot. It's a little bit, you know, drinking from a fire hose, but yeah, man, I just don't remember what I did. I don't remember who cared for me when I was 8 years old, 7 years old. I don't remember. I think I stayed with my grandparents. I really do. And hung out at their house and played and did all that. But yeah, man, it'll be a busy one here. What a great place to grow up, right? I grew up in not such a nice place compared to this. This place in the summer, fantastic. Just fantastic place. So they're very lucky. We got all that going on. He loves the Padres camp. So much fun. So he'll be doing that as well. And yeah, just going to try to keep him busy.
It's a Throwback Thursday. We're going to play a game of real or fake here in a few minutes. Chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. But because it's Throwback Thursday, Woods, Paul has dipped into our archives for a couple of clips from previous years of Ben and Woods, and he has a couple of fun ones today. Paulie?
Yeah, we can start. Let's start. We play this a lot now, but it happens to be the week where the origin of the Chet Hanks cameo.
I can't hear it enough.
I can't hear it enough either. And you'll hear it at least a drop anytime we mention somebody named Doug. But yeah, it was like June 8th, I want to say, of 2022. So the 3-year anniversary of Chet Hanks cameo. Now, this was not to us. You can go on people's cameo pages and they show you like samples, past videos that they've done. So this was a birthday shout out that somebody paid for. Trust me when I said, look, probably once a week to see if Chet Hanks has turned his cameo requests back on.
Yeah.
They've been off for a long time. If he ever comes back to the platform, we will have a Ben and Woods one. But here's the one that we just love oh so much.
Yo, Josh, what up, man? It's Chet Hanks. This is from your boy, Doug. Doug told me you're turning 43, bro. And I just wanted to say, big up your bumba class, Ross, 43 years around the world. John O'Star, I heard you won an Oscar for a animated movie. Look, man, I do voice acting too. Maybe create some sort of Rasta character, a cartoon. I got other accents too. Cockney. Oh, I love either. Love you. Man, I can do a bunch of accents, bro. You
Dogs.
Name it.
I'm so good at accents.
You create a cartoon character. Put me in your next movie, bro. I'm dead ass serious about that.
We know.
Anyway, have a great 43rd birthday, bro, and congratulations. More life.
The greatest cameo.
I'm really good at accents, except they're all Rastafarian.
Well, I can do a Cockney. Well, you get it. I do a pirate. Not really.
Irish.
Kurt just said it. It never gets old. Kurt, it never gets old. That whole thing never gets old to me. It makes me laugh every time.
I do voice acting, too. maybe create some sort of Rasta character.
Sure.
A cartoon. I got other accents too. Cockney. Oh, I love either. Love you.
What? That's incredible.
Since who? Cockney. Oh, I love either. Love you.
Purple said I could listen to it every day. As could I. Every single day of my life. It instantly makes me feel better. Like, if I'm in a down mood, all I do is think of Doug. I told you, my postman named Doug. The other day, I drive by him, I go, Doug. He starts laughing. He goes, I heard that. I was crying.
For the rest of my life, Doug. Every time I hear the name Doug, I am going to, at least in my head, go, Doug.
Doug. Doug. God, he's good.
Doug.
I realize Chet Hanks is maybe the biggest Nepo baby of all time. I root for him. I like it. I root for him. I think he's really... There's something really sweet about him. And I would like to see him as a Rastafarian character in Doug's next movie. And if I'm Doug, there's no doubt I'm hitting Chet Hanks up. If I have another project, I'll be like, all right, yeah, I'll write you into that for sure. By the way, it reminds me, did you happen to catch the debut of the new Apple TV show called Stick with Owen Wilson
Mark Maron? June 4th. I have not seen it yet, but I'm the only one that was really excited about the project. So
it dropped yesterday. And I watched 40 minutes of it. Not as bad as I thought.
Good.
Not as bad as I thought. I found myself a little bit Owen Wilson. Wow. Pretty good. I'll continue to watch it. It's given the Woodsies.
I'm definitely in.
Mushroom welt of approval.
We got one more clip from Pauly as well. This one is from 4 years ago. And I would say not our finest moment, but it lives on.
Still pretty funny. I think it's a promo still that runs on the station. This was about a year before we threw cameras into the studio and were on YouTube. It might have been a little bit more sense if you were watching this segment.
No cameras.
But nobody was able to watch this segment at the time. We were only on the radio, audio only. So why would we ever play a game of charades on the radio?
All right, let's do one.
Charades.
Let's do charades.
This is the worst.
No, this is great. Just do it.
Radio.
Just do it. Radio charades. I think somebody's done this before, actually.
I did. There's no way, because it's the worst radio bit of all time.
Well, that's what
radio
we're known for.
Charades.
Let's go.
No, we can't do radio charades.
Do one. All right, here we go.
All right.
And I'll just talk it through. I think we did this on my very first show, Radio Charades.
All right, let me think of what I'm going to do here.
Very quick under pressure.
All right. Here we go. All right.
This. Okay. Two words. First word.
Hang on. Do you remember? You don't have any idea, right?
I don't.
Okay.
Two words. First word. Cheering. Gleeful. Fan. Second word. Ben. That's a... I can't... Fellatio? Cheering. Fellatio? Tying your shoe, pulling it up, eating it. Oh, eating it. Eating. Plant. Second word, second syllable. I'm done. I can't. That's impossible. Oh, God. He's.
Two?
Set two words. Second word.
On the wrist.
Second word.
Forearm.
Eat. Drink. No idea. I told you. I'm terrible.
That was Victor Caratini. So, first word was Victor.
Victor Caratini.
Victor Caratini.
We're going arm, wrist.
So many things you can do in first charades. He goes with Victor Caratini.
Usually when you're playing charades, you get a card or something. You don't have to come up with it yourself.
Here's his explanation for how he justified with whatever hand motions he was making for Victor Caratini.
So, first word was Victor. I won.
Victory.
I was eating a carrot, and then I was drinking a martini, Victor Caratini.
I would have never gotten that. He was like this.
I'm not that good at it. I was eating a carrot, and then I pulled the carrot out of the ground.
Imagine what it looked like.
You ever see anybody eat a carrot like this?
Bugs Bunny? How would you pantomime eating carrots?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
We're supposed to open phones here, not charades on the radio.
Fantastic work. Hey, happy 40th to Alex out there. He's in the chat listening to the Ben and Woods program. Ben will now charade. He'll mime you a happy birthday.
Happy birth. Birth.
Birth.
Day. Day. Day.
What's birth. It's a calendar. In the calendar.
Birth.
Day.
Yeah. There you go. Happy birthday, Alex. I love radio charades, and I, frankly, during summer break, think we should bring it back.
Guess what we're doing on the roundtable today?
Oh, please. Oh, let's do it. Do something.
Seventh inning stretch. Radio charade.
Can
baby.
I tell you something right now?
Yeah.
If you do another snake draft, I'm going to slit your throat. You doing one?
Well, I mean, there's the roundtable draft's a thing. That's like
it's
we
not
do a draft
benchmark.
Every,
you don't. Yeah, it doesn't have to
every single time. We do some sort of draft with some sort of question to answer. And I have a question for you to answer today too.
No, I hate the draft.
Why? It sparks some discussion.
Fine. Fine.
All right, first, we're still a couple of hours away from that. We got Real or Fake to play on a Throwback Thursday. If you want to try to qualify for our trip to Las Vegas, call us now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Separate the real from fake, go on a spa vacation to Las Vegas, or at least qualify for our grand prize drawing at the end of the month. Call now, 833-288-0973. We'll come back, play our game, and continue on with Eno Saris, Smart Baseball from The Athletic at the bottom of the hour.
Also, a very happy birthday to our pal Squirrely24 in the chat. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Alex. Happy birthday to everyone.
Squirrely, the person that Ben insulted?
Yeah, did you call him a loser 2 years ago?
No, I said earlier. He was an idiot.
Oh, an idiot.
Yeah.
No, not a loser.
Very cool. Hey, happy birthday, idiot.
I don't remember exactly why. I think it was because he walked in the dark and was going to get run over by a car. Remember, he scared me.
He did,
when I was walking into our building years ago, yeah. Because he was walking at 5:30 a.m. in the dark in our parking lot next to the cemetery.
Woods and I used to scare you in the parking lot because you would show up at like 4:30 and then sleep in your car until 5 until you absolutely had to come in.
He did.
And we snuck out and would just like bang on the windows.
Don't do that.
I forgot about that.
Don't do that.
Come to work when it's time to come to work. He's there.
Oh, my goodness.
Dreaming about snake drafts.
I get a little more sleep now. Thank goodness gracious. Also, I play Prize Picks. You can as well. Prize Picks is daily fantasy for everybody. And with the basketball last series starting tonight, you've got a discounted square available. Tyrese Halliburton, more than 13.5 points. Come on, that's a discounted projection that makes it even easier to win real money with Prize Picks. You can win up to 2,000 times your cash simply by constructing lineups between 2 and 6 players and picking more or less on stat projections. It's easy to play. It's easy to download the account. Download the Prize Picks app at prizepicks.com. Use the code KWFN. When you play your first time, $5, you're going to get $50 instantly from them. 5 from you, 50 from them. So think about that. That's like 10 extra $5 lineups that you can construct with free money to see how much you like it, how you like to play it. Very easy. Just remember, use the code KWFN to get your $50 instantly with your first $5 lineup. If you want to load your account, it's easy to do with Venmo Card, Apple Pay, and then take your winnings out just as fast, usually in about 15 minutes. Got the money back in your account. I've done it several times, but make sure you're using that discounted projection. Tyrese Halliburton tonight, 13.5 points to put into one of your lineups at Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Before we play our game of real or fake, I don't think I teased it, but we do have another 4-pack of tickets and parking to the San Diego County Fair to give away. And are we just going to wait for the GOAT? I mean, are people still listening for the GOAT? Does the GOAT still exist?
I think so.
Because, you know, fair animals don't always make it all the way through the fair. They're a reason that they're fair animals. They're not pets. You know that, Woods, right?
I'm not a cat.
The goats can be pets.
They can, but fair animals are not generally pets. They're raised as livestock.
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to, I mean, we could get that.
Oh. They do have
all three.
They do have different roosters and various birds. So I don't think they have seals at the fair.
No, not that I know of.
Give us the rooster, or the, what was that?
Goat.
All right, the goat.
All right, listen for the goat.
Goat sounder between now and the end of our program, sometime before the roundtable, to win the fair tickets and parking for the San Diego County Fair. Tickets available at sdfair.com. Right now, though, we got a contestant on the line on hold, I see. Let's play a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
The people, looks like, is this Javier? I got you on the line here.
Hello?
Hi, are you Javier or who are you?
Yeah.
All right, Javier, would you like to play Real or Fake? Say yes.
Sounds good.
All right, good. All right, here.
Sounds good.
All right, if you can get 4 of 7 correct, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. It is a getaway, 2 nights at Resorts World Las Vegas, 2 spa passes to the Awana Spa. It is co-ed, so, you know, take a lady if you'd like or not.
I mean, it is endorsed by Paulie
Rigel. It is. Also, food and beverage credit at any of their 5 pools. Check them out at rwlasvegas.com. I think Woods is going to like this one. The Rock, a.k.a. Alcatraz Prison.
Ooh.
Padres in San Francisco right now, so it is the inspiration for today's game of Take on Woods. Javier, I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if it was a real famous inmate of Alcatraz or a fake I've thrown in to fool you. You got Woods, at least one phone a friend if you'd like to help. Javier, are you ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, let's get going. Here we go. Round one, real or fake Alcatraz inmate. Waxy Gordon. Real or fake? Waxy Gordon.
Fake.
Agreed.
Damn it. Bootlegger, associate of Lucky Luciano and Meyer Lansky. All right, 0 for 1, but we got plenty of time to come back. Let's try Thomas Foghorn Bellamy. Real or fake?
Real.
That one's fake. All right, well, let's get going here. Round number 3. We need something to go your way here.
I have so many questions, by the way. So many.
All right, Roof Percival. Real or fake?
Roof Percival?
Roof Percival.
Can I find a friend?
Yeah, go ahead. Woodsy, what do you think?
That sounds fake to me.
All right, fake.
Roof Percival, convicted of the murder and robbery of an elderly man when he was just 18 years old, sentenced to 15 years in Arkansas, but unlike a standard prison, it involved farm labor, and he was given the task of shooting fellow inmates with a shotgun if they attempted to escape, and he enjoyed his job immensely.
I'm sure he did.
Shooting many inmates, of course, didn't really help rehabilitate him. He ended up in Alcatraz later. In line.
Curtis gets shot. He's like, I wasn't escaping.
Curtis said, damn, should have brushed up on his Alcatraz inmates.
All right,
trivia.
You got to go 4 out of 4 the rest of the way.
No
Javier.
Pressure.
So pressure's on. Round 4. Veryl Rapp. Veryl Rapp. Real or fake? Woods is nodding if that means anything to you, Javier.
So familiar.
What did you say?
I'm nodding.
You don't have
along.
A phone a friend, but he's nodding. I'll give you that at least.
Real.
It is.
Yes.
He was not able to beat the rap. He was a post office robber. All right, so that's one right.
What's Let's he stealing?
I don't know. Mail? Yes.
Got another Geico. Hey, jury duty, should I just throw this away?
Ooh, what is that? Another Sears catalog?
Another credit card offer? Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, round 5. Here we go. Frankie Carbo. Real or fake, Javier? Inmate at Alcatraz.
Real.
It is.
Oh, it's a fake.
He was a Murder, Inc. gunman, a gangster, but all at the same time. All right, we got 2. Let's see if we can get 2 more. Victor, Slick Vic Marino. Real or fake?
Slick Vic.
Fake.
That's a Ben for sure. Slick
All right,
Vic.
We have come back, and once again, it comes down
Game
to the last one.
This has happened every week.
All right, real or fake for all the marbles. Basil Banghart. Real or fake inmate, Javier?
Save that.
fake.
Oh.
No!
It's real!
Basil Banghart. Stick up artist escaped from multiple prisons, including Joliet, hometown of one
Mud Grant.
Javier, thank you for playing our game.
Good try,
today.
Dude.
I'm so sorry.
Valiant effort, man.
Did not qualify in our monthly drawing.
What was the impetus for this?
Potters are in San Francisco.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. Well, I mean, you could have done baseball players or Alcatraz inmates. That's what you'd normally do.
Yeah, I did. I just thought it would be a little harder. Baseball player, that would have been a good one.
Slick Vic. I didn't even make the connection. I'm like, why is he doing Alcatraz right now?
Yeah.
No idea. Next week.
Potters are in San Francisco.
Too bad we're not in Milwaukee. You could do famous residents of the Pfister.
People Pfister? Who have been
yeah,
haunted
absolutely.
At
yeah.
the Pfister Hotel.
We will get into the myths of the Pfister next week.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
We will have Eno Saris, though, talk a little smart baseball, get his thoughts on the Padres, the ABS Challenge system coming next year, likely, and more next year with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000466. For a full list of games and rules played at 7 Mile Casino, visit 7milecasino.com.
First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about 7 Mile. It's our place to play cards. So easy to get to. Hop on the 5 freeway. Down the 5 in Chula Vista. Get off Bay Boulevard, west side of the freeway. And within minutes, you are sitting down at one of their terrific California-style blackjack tables, Texas Hold'em, Pai Gow Poker, or Baccarat.
Well, if you're playing California-style blackjack, remember, if they pull a Five, that's the worst card
that
they
good.
Can have. The
Unless
five
you already
is the
have
worst.
A Strix.
Five is the worst card they can have.
It goes with the five.
Play against it. You can ask them for advice, too, when you're playing California-style blackjack. They'll help you out. Great place to go. Smoke-free environment. No slot machines. It's a place for card players. High limit action as well. They'll take that for you. Have a great time at 7 Mile
yeah,
Casino.
Yeah, good dealers. As good as anyone's that I've seen in Vegas when I've played, certainly. And they don't care if you win. It's not
their
money.
Yeah.
They're happy to see you win. Makes you happy that you probably tip better when you win. So they actually would love to see you win. While you're there, make sure you order a meal from Sammy's at 7 Mile if you eat at the table. High Rollers, you get 35% off, which is a great deal because the food is fantastic. And on weekends, you can check out the award-winning brunch, Best in the South County, Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.
It's 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
I certainly knew it was a possibility since he is a resident of the Bay Area, but I just got confirmation from Pauly that Eno Saris was in fact at the Padres Giants game last night and is going to be there again this afternoon as the two teams wrap up their 4-game series. We will chat a little smart baseball with Eno Saris right after our check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
What do you wear to a Giants game, Eno? Is it like going to the Iditarod or something? It just looked very cold there again last night.
Yeah. I said to AJ Casavelli, you know, covers the team. You know, I said, just another cold day. I was getting some tea in summer. And I was like, just another cold day. He's like, yeah, it's not even that cold, but it's cold.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just kind of like bone chilling a little bit. I was at Oracle last year in like September and was like, all right, like I gotta plan better next year when I go.
Yeah.
You know,
lots
listen,
of hoodie sales.
Lots of hoodies.
Forgot the hoodies.
100%. Very smart on their behalf. Obviously a tough one for Padres fans last night, but you know, after stealing the first two, you lose that game last night. You got to see though the Giants reliever who is just so nasty. Randy Rodriguez, I was kind of unfamiliar with him until a couple of games ago. I don't follow the Giants all that closely, but holy smokes, man, this kid is pretty electric. And you know, get a couple guys on last night in the ninth. Like, all right, here we go. They leave Ryan Walker and they go to Randy Rodriguez, and he didn't make Jackson Merrill look very good.
Oh man, and it's so funny because they were pointing out here on the radio that he's known for throwing 100. Randy throws 100. And so, you know, Merrill sees him warming up, throwing some 100-mile-an-hour warm-up pitches.
Yes.
Gears up for 100. First pitch he gets is a changeup.
Nasty.
And then he gets two back-foot sliders.
Forget it.
Yeah. It was a nice outing for him. He's part of why I had a bold prediction that the Giants have the best bullpen in the majors. And so far it's been pretty good that way. You know, the Padres were the rabbit. They came out with some good stuff early, but you know, one thing that I think is true about the Padres pen is a little bit of overuse.
Yes.
You know, Jason Adam leads the league in appearances, and at 31, that's almost a pace for like 90. That's too much. You know, like Jeff Samardzija once told me, I know it's just a Samardzija thing, but I think it's kind of a true thing. If you look around, people who throw 85 innings in relief don't do it very often. You know, it's so 85 is a big number for me. So 90 would be an intensely large number. And I look through, every time I look through his game log, I'm like, oh, he plays two in a row and then he takes one day off and then it's two in a row again. Yeah. It's like, you know, they need to step off of Adam a little bit.
So that's an interesting concept, because I think you're right. Obviously, with Adam, they use him a ton. But in overall bullpen usage, the Padres are middle of the pack. We were looking it up this morning. It's not like they're not getting enough from their starting pitchers. I mean, they've had good starting pitching, and, you know, they're not pulling them early. Is it simply because they've just been using the same guys all season long and haven't had a lot of, you know, turnover up and down from the minors or the injured list, that they've had a few who've come in, but for the most part, it's been the same back-end guys since the season started? Morejon,
the formula.
Adam, yeah. Estrada, and Suarez have been their guys, and they've all been healthy and available, so they've been used the most.
I mean, it's a product of being good. It's like you're using your A bullpen a lot because you're in games, you're winning games. So it's just a side effect of having a good team and winning games. It is one you have to manage, though, you know. And it, the way to manage it is to develop guys, to use Yuki some days when, you know, you'd like to use somebody else, or, you know, to call up guys, you know, even, you know, some of the call-ups they've made. I have an eye out for David Morgan. I know he had that one home run.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. But in terms of stuff, he's got some of the best stuff in that pen. The stuff ratings, he actually has the best stuff in the pen by Stuff Plus. So somebody like Dave Morgan could be really important for this team. And even Reynolds too. It's just if they can pitch the eighth some days instead of Adam, you know, that makes a world of difference to the team.
That's a good idea. You know, it is, in certainly in theory. And it's, like you said, it's a product of being really good at your job if you're Jason Adam. Really good, in fact. And you can totally see why a manager's like, no way. Like, I will get crushed if I go to David Morgan here when I got Jason Adam coming off of a day off. And I can understand Schilt's perspective. Didn't work out last night for Jason Adam. But I just looked it up as well. He and Lewis Varland both tied with 31 appearances for relievers. Yeah, and Tyler Rogers right behind him, San Francisco relief pitcher. Was pretty.
But he throws like 82. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And from the ground up. Can we talk for a second about, somebody asked in the chat, hey, when you get Eno on, ask him what differences he's seeing in Fernando Tatis Jr. We were kicking it around in the dugout on Sunday. Everyone's like, man, he got off to such a hot start doing a certain thing. Stayed pretty hot, then changed, look, seemingly everything. Like, changed his approach, changed his leg kick, went back to this, toe tap, whatever it is. Why change something if it's working? Don't know. Baseball players are weird, right? They do that all the time. From your perspective, what are you seeing out of Fernando Tatis, maybe his swing path or anything like that you could shed some light on?
Well, one thing I have noticed is that generally this year he's moved up in the box and he's letting the ball travel a little bit, which is just a slightly weird combination. Most players, if you've noticed, wear out the back part of the box.
Yes.
You know, and the idea is just get longer to see the ball. These guys are throwing super hard. You want longer to make your decision. And like, while he hasn't moved up a lot, it's, it's like an inch up in the box. And while he hasn't, you know, he's not letting the ball travel a ton, it's 2 inches. And it's from like getting the ball at a normal spot for big leaguers to, you know, letting it travel more than most big leaguers. He's also way more open this year. his stance is, you know, went from 29 degrees open to 49 degrees open. So I prepared a lot of questions to talk to Tatis last night. Didn't get the chance, but, you know, I do see that these things are things that I would do if I was trying to make more contact. And I think that's basically what you can see in Tatis's overall line. This is the best strikeout rate of his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that he hasn't even had that much of an impact to his power numbers overall. But I do think he has reduced his power upside a little bit with these changes. And I think I would prefer to have a Tatis that struck out 23% of the time and could hit 35 and 40 homers. And instead, we're getting a guy who's going to have a better batting average, you know, maybe get on base more. I'm not even sure that's the case. And is more likely to hit, you know, 28 to 32 homers this year.
Interesting.
Talking to Eno Saris, our weekly conversation from The Athletic. Eno, we all know the Padres need a left fielder. Some rumors this week, Padres interested in Jaron Duran. Jeff Passan said Luis Robert could be a fit. Let me ask you, is Duran worth the price the Padres would have to pay to get him, or is Robert a gamble worth maybe the money they'd have to take on to acquire him? Your thoughts on those guys?
Duran is a much more sure thing.
Sure.
In terms of, you know, makes more contact, just a lot less volatile game. he isn't necessarily hitting for the power he did last year, but if you look at his top end exit velocities, I think there's more power in there. And I think it's just really time that will give him a power boost. So I think it's a decent time to buy him. One thing that people may not know about Duran is that he's 28. And even though he is under team control until 2029, there is a possibility that his peak is behind him. The established peak is pretty much 26 to 27. So maybe last year was a career year. That, all that said, like, he's a guy who makes contact, plays defense pretty well, although a little stretched in center, and is an above average player all around. So I would prefer him if I had the choice. The thing that's so difficult is that the Red Sox are a team that has a good lineup. They have a replacement even for him. If they want to bring up Roman Anthony, they want to build for now. So the trick he'd have to pull is giving them something that makes them better now, you know. So it would be difficult, I think, for the Padres to sell them on a prospects deal.
Yeah.
For Duran.
Yeah, I mean, and I've seen some of the reported deals, and I'm like, there's no way. Yeah, I mean, people are out of their minds. These are judgian type. I mean, it's like, oh, they're one, they're three, they're five, and two guys off the big league roster. I'm like, not for Jaron Duran, you don't.
He's the sixth best hitter on the Red Sox, would probably be the fourth best hitter on the Padres.
Yeah.
He's not, I mean, he's good.
He's good, and he would help us immediately.
You don't give up everything in the world
for
to get Jaron
Duran. I couldn't agree more. Quickly, you know, we got a few minutes left. Man, we are big fans of Luis Arraez on this program. The person, the attitude, the player, probably a dream for a manager, to have a guy with that presence in the clubhouse every day. The production is starting to wear, I think, on even us who in a group text last night were like, I don't know, man. I just don't know if you can lay out a bunch of cash to re-sign Luis Arraez. Winning player, certainly not great at Petco Park. What are you seeing from Luis Arraez that, you know, gives us this level of concern?
Yeah, I mean, wisdom of replacement can be flawed in certain situations.
Sure.
But in this case, it tells the story of a guy who's, you know, basically replacement level right now.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, what you're getting a bunch of singles, and that's great. The batting average is decent. The OBP is not that great because he doesn't walk. It's all basically batting average. And he's not hitting for power this year, or never really.
Any
not
year.
Really a power guy. And then you're like, oh, he doesn't run well. And he doesn't really field well. You know, that's what wins a replacement does, is sort of add it all up. Now, what he does do that's really important is what, like, Jung-Hoo Lee does for the Giants, you know, what Stephen Kwan does for the Guardians, which is, you know, it's really important to have a guy who hits singles, you know, who makes contact. It's really important to have someone in that gives the lineup a different look. So you can have slugger, you know, Arias, you know, and that just keeps the lineup moving. It gives you ball in play when absolutely everything you all need is a ball in play. He's your guy. So I think that that skill alone is worth paying for. But I think it's because people will be surprised by the number that he gets. I think it might be a smaller number. I think it might be somewhere around, you know, $10 million a year. Maybe it's like a 3-30, you know, sort of deal. Yeah. And if it is that kind of a deal, then it might make sense to bring it back.
Sure.
They've been paying him $14 million this year. If that's in the budget, then he does add a dimension to the lineup. But if he wants more than that, I think you've got to let him walk, because you just hope that you can either find another guy who makes contact or develop one. You know, there's got to be someone that can hopefully at least, you know, make some contact and move the lineup along the same way.
Pino, enjoy the game this afternoon. Good pitching matchup. Dylan Cease and Robbie
Ray. Oh, I got to tell you something that Dylan told me. Dylan told me that in between starts, he's been throwing better than ever. And word for word, he said, "I'm about to get hot. I don't know if it's going to be this start or the next start, but I'm about to get hot."
All right, I'm here for it. And I can't wait.
They need that. I mean, he's got one win.
And
the Padres are still 10 games above 500.
Let's get it.
It's pretty good. Eno, we're out of time. Have a great time at the game today.
All right, see you.
There he is. Eno Saris from The Athletic, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, a little smart baseball on a Thursday.
Nice little nugget there at the end.
Yeah. We'll come back. Ryan will report a story, I think, of integrity that Paulie has for us. And Sammy Levitt's going to join us, all coming up here on The Fan.